Okay, we are at the 7th day of November, Election Day. What, Yud Ches Mar Cheshvan? Yud Zayin? 18th, Yud Ches. Yud Ches Mar Cheshvan, Tav Shinayin Ches. And we are at Halacha Day of Perek Gimel. Now, it wasn't so simple finding a Halacha Day for Perek Gimel. Sure, I was thinking about something about Telev and Dam, maybe something about Melicha might be relevant because the Dam is extracted. It's only Dam that gets extracted that is prohibited, as opposed to the blood that is contained within the meat. Right. Right, have we talked about this before?
No, my mother always said that.
Right. It's not blood. Right. When you buy meat at the butcher and there's this red stuff that comes out of the meat, that's not blood. That is meat juice. And right, big difference. So, but no, there's a different thing that comes up over the course of this parak, although it's the focus is not here, and we've alluded to it a few times, and that is the concept of smicha, or perhaps the mitzvah of smicha. That if we go towards the beginning of this parak, that's really based on things a couple. It started in the first parak, but here it says, with every one of the mitzvah, with every one of the three examples of the korban shlamim that is mentioned in the course of this parsha, it says, "V'samach yado al rosh korbanot." You're going to lean your hands on the head of the korban. And that mitzvah of smicha exists by many karbanos. All karbanos yachid include the idea of smicha, as well as, I think, some karbanet tzibur. One of the main descriptions appears in Maseches Yuma. I forgot to check which chatas that is, but the smicha was done by the bringer of the korban. He would put his hands on it, and in theory he would say vidui. If it was not a korban that demanded vidui, vidui is because of some kind of sin, if it was not a korban that demanded some type of vidui, says the Rambam, he would say some shira, he would say some song or something along with it, but you lean your hands on it, say something along with it, and then it goes off in order to be shechted.
This is the person who's bringing the korban?
Yes.
Not the kohen.
Not the kohen. The samach yado al rosh korbano. And then he will shecht it. And then the bnei Aaron will then sprinkle the blood around the mizbeach. So a person brings it. Conceivably, the person himself could shecht it as well. Shechita is, as we've alluded to a few times, is kosher bazaar. This permitted does not need to be a kohen. In practice, it probably most likely was a kohen, but it doesn't have to be a kohen. And then from then on, that's when a kohen takes over. So what are some of the details revolving around this idea? So this is an interesting mitzvah, and that's why a lot of literature comes out of it, and that is because doing the act is, in theory, a prohibition. What, in theory, is that prohibition? So if you look in Devarim, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Tes, so that is in the thick of the mitzvos of Parshas Re'eh, and makes the following. That's the wrong parak. There it is. Parak that's on Pasuk Yitess. This is the leaning of the. This is the leaning of the last day of all three moedim. Kol habachor. That's how it starts out. Sure, yivalid bikir b'chav tzoncha zachar. Right, all the firstborn animals that are born and that are male. Taktisha Hashem elokecha have to be makdish. Lo savod b'chor sherecha v'lo sagoz b'chor tzonecha. You're not allowed to work the eldest of your oxen, and nor are you allowed to shear the eldest of your sheep. So from there we learn a prohibition. You are not permitted to work kudshim. You're not permitted to make them work. So what are you doing when you're leaning on its head? You are making its work. What are you looking at me like that? Yes, you are imposing upon it. You are putting your power upon it. You're making it work harder. In theory, such a thing would be prohibited. You can't ride your ox to Yerushalayim for it to be shechted. Well, assuming it was already hektish, assuming it was already sanctified. So you're not allowed to benefit from it. You're not supposed to work it. So this pasuk is considered the source of that. In fact, in the Minchas Chinuch, in the very first mitzvah of Sefer Vayikra, so he says this explicitly, V'afta smicha b'chol kocha hu yavodas kach. Even though smicha with all of your strength, we'll get to all of your strength a little bit later perhaps, is considered avoda b'kachim, kach hi mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. That's what you got to do. So therefore, it's okay. The problem, though, is, some of the interesting points arise then, is that, you know, very often we'll be machmir when it comes to mitzvos. We'll say, we'll do it just in case, we're not really sure, so in order to be yotzi, we'll make sure to do something like that. Well, you can't really do that here, because here, if you're not obligated in the mitzvah, and you do it anyways, so guess what you've just done? you've just violated the prohibition of avodah b'kachim, of working kachim hard. So therefore, you got to be more precise as to what you're doing. It's one of the reasons I like Hilchos Mezuzah. Is Hilchos Mezuzah, you can't put a mezuzah on both doors, on both sides of the door, right? One mezuzah per door, and that's it, regardless of the sfeikos. You have to make a decision. So to hear it, right? You have to make a decision: is the person chayiv, or are they not, or are they not chayiv? Fine. So the perhaps the central place where these questions come up is by the topic of women and smicha. Are women supposed to? Are women not supposed to? Or are women allowed to do smicha if they're bringing korbanos? So there is a fascinating gemara. I find it fascinating over the course of Maseches Chagiga. This is... keep this between us, this Gemara. It's a little not PC, but let's see what it says here. So the Gemara comments... It's all right. Between the people in this room and the people listening online, it shouldn't get out too far. So the Mishnah elsewhere... Right, discusses the idea that several people are exempt, are not supposed to do smicha, and it gives you the list here. And if you look in the side of this in Sefer Achinuch here, a cheir shot of a katan is not supposed to do it, and an isha is petura, and woman is exempt. That was the Gemara in Maseches Menachos. Maseches Menachos, it gives you the list of the people that are not supposed to do smicha. Mishnah tells us hakol somchim, everybody is supposed to do smicha except for a chayre shota and a katan, a deaf mute, a shota is a crazy person, a katan is a minor, right? A suma, a blind person, v'ukul chavim, a non-Jew, v'eved, a slave, v'hashliach, an agent, ha'isha, and a woman. So a woman is on the list of those people that are not included in hakol smuchim. Okay? And then it continues on and says, Usmucha Shiari Mitzvah. And Smicha is considered a Shiari Mitzvah. What does it mean, Shiari Mitzvah? What is Shiraim? When a Rebbe gives out Shiraim? Ever heard of that kind? Right? The Rebbe gives out food, Shiraim? Extra food or crumbs. So it's considered not really a full Mitzvah, and that's not completely obligatory, but rather it is a Shiari Mitzvah. It's translated here as a remnant of a Mitzvah. And what happens? Al HaRosh B'Shtei Yadayim, you put your hand on with two hands, U'makam Shesom Chen Shochtim, in the place where they did Smicha, that's where they did Shchita, V'tekev L'Smicha Shchita. And immediately after they do Smicha, so that's when they're supposed to do Shchita. Fine. So there is a couple of Milchus Chinuch raises issues about Chayre Shot and Katan. How could they possibly own it in the first place? How could they make a whatever works out, how that could possibly be. Then we get up to the issue of Nashim. So the Gemara tells us here, where is it?
Isha and Nashim.
Yeah. What?
They're synonyms? Isha and Nashim?
Isha is a woman, Nashim are women. A woman or woman?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So the Gemara. So how do we know this, that women are exempt? So the Gemara here says, it says, well, what does it say in the pasuk? It says the samach yado. It says that they shall place their hand. And then it says velo yad avdo, and not the hand of a slave. And then it says yado velo yad shluchu, not the hand of an agent. And yado velo yad ishto, that he should put his hand. I mean, it says it a few times. This was samach yado. And one of them deduces he should put it on velo yad ishto, and not the hand of his woman. And not the hand of a woman. So Tosfos asks the question. Tosfos in Maseches Menachos asks, right? From here we see Bnei Yisrael Mu'utei Nashim Yismicha Lo Nafki Yisrael Dahava Mina Tismuch B'Korban Baila. So the Gemara asks, but wait a second. But we have another pasuk as well. If you look in another Gemara, I believe in Maseches in Chagiga, it asks, how do we know that women are exempt from doing smicha? It says, oh, for that it goes to the beginning of the parak where it says Daber El Bnei Yisrael. Speak to Bnei Yisrael, and you're going to have to do smicha, and then you have to bring the korban. So So what's the difference between the two? Why is it that we need two times? Do we need to eliminate women from the mitzvah of smicha? One where it says b'nei Yisrael v'lo b'nos Yisrael, and so one time it says yado and not yada. Why do we need two of those? So Tosfos suggests, says, well, I might have thought that when is it that b'nei b'nei Yisrael? That's talking about women in general. Meaning if a woman brings a korban, so then she wouldn't do smicha. But maybe I would think that if she's bringing her husband's korban, she would. Why? Why would there be a special dispensation if it was run on behalf of the husband? Plus, we have a concept in halacha called ishto kegufo, that a wife is connected to the husband, and therefore perhaps a woman could do smicha on behalf of her husband. So, kamash malan, therefore it tells you no. That's what Tosfos says, that's what Tosfos decides, understands the two different psukim. Then Tosfos turns around and says, I don't understand the whole question in the first place. Right? Why do we need a pasuk to tell you women are exempt from smicha, or they're not supposed to do smicha? There is another obvious reason why they shouldn't have to do smicha. And that is, we just said that smicha is connected to hakrava, is connected to bringing the korban. And when our korban was brought, when are they brought? There's certainly one specific factor that must be necessary for every korban for it to be brought. It has to be, what time?
I thought they brought all day long.
Has to, right, all day long and not all night. Right? It has to be daytime and it can't be nighttime. So that's Tosfos. Why do we need any psukim to exclude women from smicha? It's a time about mitzvah. It's mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and therefore they should be exempt. Now Tosfos here just establishes it as being a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And then doesn't answer the question here, but Tosfos elsewhere does. And then there's other acharon that try to take stabs at this idea as well. So there's really two ways of answering this question. One is to say it is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, but anyways, I would have thought women would be obligated, and therefore we need the pasuk to come and exempt you. Or the other way is to just deny that it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So how can you deny that it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama if it can only be done at certain times? How would I deny that? How could I say, oh, it's not, but it's not really mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So how did we learn out? How do we learn out that it's mitzvah saseh shazman grama? Did we say that smicha has to be done during the day? He said, no. Shechita has to be done during the day, and smicha has to be done before shechita. Right? That's how we just learned that. Shechita has to be during the day, and smicha, it can't be done at a different time. So therefore obviously, it's mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Except not so fast. Maybe it's not inherently a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, time bound mitzvah. Maybe that just happens to be when you do it. So that's one suggestion that's put forth. That it's not really a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. It's only, it happens to be done during the day because practically there's not another time to do it. But because it's not going to be connected to Shechita otherwise. But inherently, that's not the case. So therefore, maybe it's not a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Therefore, you need these psukim. This is very similar to a shita quoted in the name of the Ramban, where the Ramban says that perhaps women are exempt from birkas hamazon on a level of doraisa because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Now, before we go on and explain this, in Nefesh HaRav, Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Rav that the Rav once quoted this Ramban and said that it's a misprint, doesn't make any sense in the way the Ramban ever said it. But it is in print, and therefore people talked about it. So how could I possibly suggest that benching is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama? It says, well, because when do you bench? You're obligated to bench within 72 minutes of eating. So therefore, it is time bound. It is right to a specific. It is held to a specific time, and therefore, perhaps I would think that women should be exempt. That perhaps this is a reason for suggesting that women should be exempt because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. What's the reason way to answer that? So, no, it's not a time bound mitzvah. It just happens to be that it's connected to eating, and eating, and therefore it's connected. And therefore, eating is what sets off the time that you would say it. But it's not time bound to a specific time in the day. So therefore, it wouldn't qualify as the mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Right? It's a similar type of suggestion that is put out there.
From the time you finish eating?
What?
72 minutes from the time you finish.
72 minutes from the time you finish eating. Is it from the beginning or end? I believe the end. Got to check again. I believe the end. It's considered 72 minutes is the zman equal, is the time of digestion.
And do you have to come back to the table where you wait?
That is considered the din l'chadchila. Ideally, one should go back to the place where you ate. But mikra din, one does not have to do that. Mikra din, you could eat. You could bench where you are. However, I would warn you. Rabbi Frantz has a story where he said he ate breakfast and then packed the family up to go on vacation, drove about 5-10 minutes, and realized that he hadn't benched. So gewalt, I didn't bench. So he turned around the car and went home and benched at his table. So he said, it's true, I didn't have to turn the car around and go home and bench at my table, but think about the impact that had on my children that were in the car. This is something that we take seriously, and if you went to end it. So technically you don't have to, but it's certainly considered a din l'chadchila. Yes?
You have in mind that you're going to not bench there and bench somewhere else?
That would make it perhaps even l'chadchila, you would go someplace else. Yeah, that when if you're going to transfer your meal in the middle, so then you could ideally you should have that in mind in the beginning. Ideally, you should also eat something in that second place where you ended up. Yeah. Okay, so...
What happened with the dessert thing?
Oh!
How does it work with the dessert? Like, you can bench and then have dessert afterwards or something?
In theory, dessert can be a separate meal. There's also an idea that dessert is not really considered part of a meal if it's certain types of food, and therefore would demand its own bracha rishona. But its bracha chrona will be combined with the rest of the meal, unless you bench and then decide to have dessert later on. Okay, but anyways, back over here. So that's answer number one. That's not really a mitzvah seisha zman grama. It only looks like one, and smells like one, but it's not really one. The other answer is that, well, yes, it's true that mitzmicha is a mitzvah seisha zman grama, but I perhaps would have a good reason to say that this would not be included in the exemption. Why is that? Because smicha is connected to, what we say, shchita. And we said shchita can be done by not kohen, and apparently not only can shchita be done by a non-kohen, shchita can even be done by a non-male, by a woman. That a woman theoretically could go ahead and do shchita. How do we know that? Sam is looking at that's crazy, right? Why is it crazy? Well, first of all, because we know that one of the requirements to do shchita is that you need to have a longer beard, and it's going to be very hard for a woman to have a long beard, right? That's one reason why it might be crazy. Now, another reason why it's a little crazy is that the very first Mishnah in Maseches Chulin, where it talks about in the Perek that says that is entitled Hakol Shochtim, that all are entitled to Shecht. Guess what the Perek means? All are entitled to Shecht. It sounds like women should be included in the mitzvah to do Shechita. So the very first Tosfos on Maseches Chulin, right there, top of the page, very top line, says that he quotes from a Sefer Derech Eretz, I believe, where he says that the minhag is that women don't do Shechita. And everybody's wondering, where'd that come from? Why is there... And that's actually the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Both Mechaber and Rama make comments about it, but it comes out from the Shulchan Aruch that it's considered not normal, not the minhag, for women to go ahead and do shechita. So why in the world would women be excluded from shechita? So here you get into you start getting into some modern political Jewish political fights. In the very first shir that of the Rav Salvechik in the shiurim on Maseches Chulin or shiurim on Yerodeah, so he says that the shochet in town was always had a din of srara, always had a din of authority within the community. That usually, if the Rav wasn't in town, so the Shochet was the one who was passing all the shilas. And therefore, because the Shochet has some authority to him, so therefore the position excludes itself from women, because women are not supposed to have positions of Srara, and then from there, that based off of that, that is the reason why only males are rabbis and women are not rabbis. Right? That is the premise of that. If anybody wants more on that, there's been a lot of things written in the last couple of years that discuss that issue. And even go further along those lines, it's also used as the makor for the idea of mesorah, for the idea that there's a tradition for them not to do it. And when the OU came out a couple months ago already with their ban on women rabbis, so they included that as well as a definition of there not being, what does it mean that there's not, you can't have a mesorah for something that didn't exist. I think the Shach raises that question on that. You can't have a minug to not do something, right? A minug by definition is something that is done. So how can you bring a proof that it wasn't done if it maybe just wasn't done, right? It didn't have to be done, so why do we... So he suggested if there is... So the in that article that was put out by Rav Schachter and Rav Rosenzweig and Rav Neuberg, that rabbinic document, so they explain there that if there is a tradition to not do something when there was no reason why it didn't have to be done, that itself qualifies as a tradition. Meaning it is possible to develop a minhag from things that didn't happen. That is their suggestion, and that's the definition of there being a mesorah, that there's a tradition in terms of certain things happening. So anyways, so those are the two understandings as to why women would be exempt, well, why they wouldn't just be exempt because of the mitzvah seishas man grama issue, but rather there needs to be an additional limud, an additional understanding as to why they wouldn't go ahead and do it. However, oh, we have 10 minutes left. So however, if you look in the Maseches Chagiga, it sounds like they did do it. It sounds like they did go ahead and do this. So what are we talking about here? So the Gemara Maseches Chulin, and daf tes zayin, sorry, not Maseches Chulin, Maseches Chagiga, and daf tes zayin am beis, says as follows. So it says, Daberol b'nei Yisrael v'samach, that they should speak to the children of Israel, they should do smicha, b'nei Yisrael somchim ve'im b'nos Yisrael somchos, that the Jewish boys do smicha, and the Jewish girls don't. Right? That was the other pasuk that we quoted. Those are the two, that, right? This was Daberol b'nei Yisrael as opposed to b'samach yado. So those are the two pasukim that we quoted earlier. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, however, b'nos Yisrael somchos reshus, that the daughters of Israel have the right to do smicha. They have the option to do. They have permission to do smicha. So I'm Rabbi Yossi Sachli Abba Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer accounted to me to Pamachas Hayalanu Egel Shal Zivchei Shlamim. That one time we had a calf that was brought as a korban shlamim. The Vioni Ezra's Nashim, and he brought it to the Ezra's Nashim. The Samchu Alav Nashim, and the woman did smicha on it. And then the Gemara adds in Lo Mifnei Shesmicha Benashim, not because they are required to do smicha, Elikdei Lasos Nachas Ruach LaNashim, but rather to give them Nachas Ruach. What's Nachas Ruach? A good feeling. So they did smicha in order to give them a good feeling. So now you have a problem, right? Because we started off this year by saying that smicha is you have to be very precise by smicha. Because on one hand, there's a mitzvah. On the other hand, if you don't really have the mitzvah, then you violate a prohibition. So how can we simply let them do this, right? Isn't that a violation of avodah b'kachim? So the Gemara asks, "V'isaka daitach smicha b'chol kocha b'ina." Now, if you tell me that you smicha is required to, with all of one's strength, mishum nachas ruach d'nashim abdina avodah b'kachim, what is because we want to let the woman feel good, we're going to let them violate avodah b'kachim. So elalav shma mina lo bina b'kol chocho. So rather, what do we see from here? That we don't require that. So he says, no. Liolam imalach bina b'kol chocho. No, we do require the all work. However, the amr luhu, but how do the women were allowed to do it? The amr luhu akfu yadaihu. Because we told them to not do it with all their strength, to only do it lightly. So they were allowed to do something, but they were told, just put your hands on top of it, don't lean too heavily. That way they're not in violation of the prohibition. So, hold on a second. So does that mean they're also not yotzi on the mitzvah? So maybe, but if they feel good, that's what we're worried about now, right? Right. So are they not yotzi on the mitzvah? So hold off on that question. So Gemara asks, Ihachi, lo mifnei shesmicha b'nashim, typically the ein l'smicha kla. He says, well, so does he? Why don't we just say that if they only did a token smicha, it's not because women did smicha. Typically, the ain't smicha kal. Let him just say that it's not true about smicha at all. That they. They should have just said they don't do it if they're not really doing it. So I'm a Rabbi Rab. So I'm a Rabbi Rabbi Ami Chada Va'od Kamar. Right? Chada the Leisel Smicha Klal. Va'ok they lasos Nachas Duroch Nashim. No, the reason that women, women doing it is not a proof is number one is that they didn't have to do Smicha at all. Va'ok they lasos Nachas Duroch Nashim. It was in order to give them a favor. But really they didn't do it. They really didn't do the full. And they really didn't go ahead and do the full. And do the full smicha. Now, if that's the case, that's the case, then okay. So here he says that. So that's what the Gemara sounds like here. So the Gemara says here that they didn't. Now there is a Tosfos here. Tosfos makes a comment on Daf Tesayim on Beis in Maseches Chagiga. Says, from here you see a very important yesod. From here you see a very important principle. You see what? That when a woman goes ahead and does a mitzvah, even though they're not obligated to do so, they're allowed to go ahead and make a bracha on it. How do you know that they're allowed to go and make a bracha on it? Well, because they went ahead and did smicha. Well, the problem is, right, in fact, you could prove the very opposite from this Gemara, right? From this Gemara, I would say, no, you see that they're not doing it. They're not going ahead and doing it. So first of all, not everybody accepts this, that it was really prohibited for them to do. The Ari Shonim that say that no, the Tosos is a Maseches Chulin and elsewhere, it says that no, they were able to do it. How were they able to go ahead and do it? They're able to go ahead and do it because they... because it's a mitzvah, right? It's a mitzvah to go ahead and do it. And women are allowed to do the mitzvah. Even though they're not obligated to do it, they could go ahead and do it. If that's the case, so why would they tell them to not do it with the full strength? Why would they tell them not to do it with the full strength if they're allowed to go ahead and do it? So they say no. In theory, they are allowed to do it with their full strength. In theory, they are allowed to, it's a mitzvah, and because that's the way the mitzvah is done, they should go ahead and do it that way. However, there is a difference that remains between the way a man does the mitzvah and the way a woman does the mitzvah. When a man does a ma'isa mitzvah, when a man does an action of a mitzvah, even if they didn't necessarily have the right kavana, even though they didn't necessarily have the right thing in mind, still the mitzvah is done, and they fulfill their obligation. Perhaps one would even add in, because there is an obligation incumbent upon them, if they go ahead and do the action of a mitzvah, they fulfill the mitzvah regardless of what they had in their mind. However, women who don't have that full obligation to go ahead and do it, they need to have the correct kavana. So therefore, suggests this, I found this in the Sefer, Daf al Daf. So he suggests that, he did not quote from somebody. He suggests the following idea. He says, so why were women told in Maseches Chagiga, oh, we're going to bring it through and you're going to have the opportunity to touch it, but don't put your full weight on it. If really they are allowed to put their full weight on it, because the concern is that even though they're in theory allowed to put their full weight on it, that's only if what? It's only if they have the right kavanah. But because there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to have the right kavanah, so therefore we're going to tell them, we're going to say not to go ahead and do it with the full weight in order not to risk violating the prohibition. That's side. What about the other side? According to Tosfos, who says, "Oh, we see from the fact that women did smicha, we see that therefore they're allowed to go ahead and make brachos on mitzvahs that they do." So how does that work? How does one see this? How does one see that from this Gemara? So he suggests that. That's the wrong thing. So he suggests he quotes from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe in a tshuva has a topic. Rav Moshe in Or Chaim Chelek Beis Siman Beis. So he raises this. So that question is asked by the Tori Evan. He suggests, even though smicha in theory needs to be done with all the strength, still putting your hand on it, that get some of the mitzvah. V'lo shekol adin de smicha hu dafka b'chol kocho, v'lo asi b'chol kocho inam kum. It's not that the mitzvah of smicha is only if you put all your strength on. If you don't put all your strength on, you haven't pulled the mitzvah at all. V'lachin imayav al tosa b'siyas nash. It goes on and explains really a different an issue of al tosa. But anyways, he suggests that no, there really was a mitzvah. And the fact that they were being told to do it is not just in order to make them feel good, but in order to make them feel good that they're able to fulfill the mitzvah. Yes, it's true that it's not the full mitzvah. That's because it's very risky to do the full mitzvah, but to do this part mitzvah, that already is permissible to do. Fine. So that is the second issue with regards to smicha. There is a third major issue when it comes to smicha. Maybe we'll do it another parak where we come across it, and that is the Mishnah that this is building off of in Maseches Chagiga, and that is that there is this ongoing machlokas for five generations. The very first machlokas that we have recorded is a machlokas about whether you bring smicha, do smicha on yantif. If you bring a korban on yantif, productive, you also do smicha. Why would I think not to do smicha? The animal's muksa, right? And therefore, it's like riding an animal. Riding animals in Isidurabon. So this was an ongoing machlokas through the period of the Zugos. What are the Zugos? What's the Zugos period? Do we know? The period before the Tanaim. Right, the Tanaim are the ones who wrote the Mishnah. So the period before them were known as the period of the Zugos. The very last Zug, Zug means pairs. The very last Zug was Shammai and Hillel. Shammai and Hillel were last. Before them were Shammai and Avtayon. And the Mishnah here, this is actually the source for who the five sets of Zugos were. So they had this ongoing machlokas, and that was the only machlokas that they had, and it couldn't be resolved. Do we do smicha and yantif or not? So why in the world would that be the one machlokas that can't be resolved? And why can't just be asked to the Sanhedrin, let the Sanhedrin resolve it like it was resolving other issues? And like, why was this the thing that came up? So there are suggestions that this is really a code word for something else, but we're out of time, so we'll have to discuss that at some other point over the year. Okay, have a good day.